Hi, this is Pete Link, and we're back at churchandgospel.com, and we want to talk doctrine, we want to talk the Bible, and a lot of times when we think about talking doctrine, it sounds so erudite, and nothing down to earth, nothing practical. Well, one of the things that we always feel is that the most practical thing in the world is Jesus Christ himself, and so we always are trying to figure out how do we communicate the reality of doctrine in the real world. Well, today, because that's one of our desires, one of our hopes, I have one of my good friends here, Pastor Dr. Sonny Holmes, former president of the South Carolina Baptist Convention, a great godly man who does some adjunct teaching for us, has a great relationship to many Southern Baptist institutions. Sonny, we're glad to have you here with us.
Thank you. It is my privilege. I've been looking forward to it.
Well, it's a treat to have you here. Now, we've brought you here because with your background, you're very familiar with what happens in the local church. And really, for the number of years that you have been in the pastor, which is how many years now?
35.
35 years. You have been able to stand back and see what the American church, particularly in South Carolina, what's going on in it. So we want to think about the gospel in terms of the question of the local church, the question of the pastorship, pastorate, and what is happening overall. Are things good or bad, in your view, with the local church today?
Well, there are a lot of concerns, I'm sure, and if you read any of the data, Pew Research, Lifeway Research, all of the data is kind of mixed. It's a mixed bag of information about how the church is doing. The profile of the church seems to be lower than it has been in the past. A recent survey show us a little bit on decline. More churches are closing. And attendance in church is at a low. It's declining. Expected to even decline more over the next few years as people readjust to parachurch organizations, small groups outside the church. And you know, I'm one whose theology says there's nothing wrong with the church. I'm one whose theology says the church is always, since Jesus commissioned us, has always been able to influence the world, turn the world upside down, change everything. And humans have a way of mucking things up occasionally.
Indeed,
and
we
so
do.
We're just
yes.
in one of those places where the church is just in an unusual position. Our profile on the spiritual landscape of America, the largest growing people in that group are called the nuns, the people with no religious preference.
Yeah, not and, in. UN none.
Yeah, N-O-N-E.
But N-O-N-E, those who claim no religious affiliation. Now that's, you know, and for most Americans, you turn around and you watch the news and you see what we call this increasing secularization of America, the idea that what many of us have deemed cultural Christianity, this kind of half in the world, half in the Christian mindset, that stuff is quickly fading away, is it not?
Yeah, well, the Pew people have added some new names to it.
Okay.
Having to get used to all the new words has kind of been, you know, one of those things for an old guy like me.
Don't think of yourself as old. Think of yourself as wise, experienced, passionate. You pick the adjective you
Maybe
like.
So. Old is, fits pretty well every morning. But
yes, sir.
But you know, now they say the largest group of Christians in America are called nominal Christians. These are people who are Christian in name only. You answer a survey, someone calls, the halo effect, the statistical researchers call it, kicks in, and you're going to answer questions that make you look good and make you feel good about yourself. And then next to that is a group called convictional Christians, people who seek to live by the precepts of their faith and by their doctrine, and they bring that to their life every day. They pray more often. They study Scripture more often. They fellowship. They do the things. And the convictional Christian group is stronger in many respects, but it's smaller.
So let me try to connect the dots there. In people who claim to be Christian, we have at least these two groups.
At least.
We have these folks who are perhaps answering a survey with these Christianese type answers, but there's no evidence of life change, no real commitment, no daily part of their lives, maybe even no weekly or monthly commitment to a local church in particular. And that is a rather large group of folks that just believe, for better or worse, that they are Christian because of where they were born, et cetera. Then you have this other group you just said who are what? Convictional Christians. I love that title that they used in that survey for that. people whose convictions are driven by the basic tenets of Christianity. So you said that this other group, this not convictional group, this kind of casual Christian or Christian in name only, is pretty big.
It's pretty large. I don't remember all the numbers, and you know, remembering
numbers are bad when we're doing a podcast.
Remembering all
anyway.
The numbers, doing research. I have a degree in accounting, and so I understand that kind of stuff. But just keeping up with all those numbers is very difficult. But evidently, as they view the broad spiritual landscape, that is a fast growing and larger group than any of us ever anticipated. Mm. I just read a survey done by churchleaders.com, and they were in conjunction with Gallup, and they say about 20% of Americans actually attend church on a regular basis. Mm. Surveys say as many as 40%, but the question is, do you attend church once a month?
Right.
And the 40%, and they say the actual week-by-week attendance is much lower than that, so there's a lot less participation. My real passion, of course, that's a passion as a pastor for 35 years. And in the process, I spent 3 years as director of pastoral ministries for the South Carolina Baptist Convention. So I was in a different church every day in South Carolina, and most of them are dealing with these issues. What became my passion during that, and as I prepared to retire, was just one of the small components of this church, this church scene we have happening in America today.
And which is not much of a church scene, obviously.
Yeah. And that component is, I mean, many churches have lost their sense of mission. Many churches have become internalized. There's a lot of trouble in churches. The churches are closing,
closing, shrinking churches with fewer doctrinal commitments being visible, even if they're said. And it's not just people being Christian in name only. It appears maybe we even have churches that are churches in name only, right?
And it's kind of like I'm teaching a class here now called Survey of Christian Education and Administration, and Dr. Will Hoyt wrote our book, and the title of the book is Spiritual Formation as If the Church Mattered. And it's kind of just like, you know, that's kind of where you kind of get this picture today,
right,
of where the church stands in the broader spectrum of America's spiritual life.
So you're seeing a weakened church. What do you think are... what do you think is a key factor of that? In particular, I know from your passion, from what we've talked about, that pastors have played a part in where we are, and maybe they can play a part in where we could be, right?
Right. Well, that of course became my passion, and it's been my passion for a long time. I mean, I was pastor to the state pastors for 3 years,
right?
And so I've always loved pastors. I don't know why this is, but every church I've pastored has seen a lot of individuals answer calls to the ministry. I think part
That's
of that
a good thing.
May have been because I answered my call to the ministry later in life. I was age 30, and that might translate to some people who are struggling or dealing with these things. But this, as I started to prepare for retirement, I was age 63, and I started preparing, and people started telling me, everybody told me this, pastors, everybody I knew, they would say, now you need to really bear down and finish strong.
Mm.
Or finish well.
Right.
And I started doing a little homework about pastors finishing it all. And I found that this is a treacherous calling we are involved in. Now, you know, most every pastor would tell you that he has enormous joy out of serving God in a local church and privileged and honored to do that. But, you know, it's hard work.
Right. Yes.
It's a hard job. And so I became convicted as I started studying some of the numbers involved that finishing well or finishing strong wasn't really the issue. The real issue was finishing, period, because so many of us don't get to the finish line. We don't get there. The dropout rate among pastors is alarming, and the turnover of pastors and the tenure of pastors. And I can't really, I'm kind of up in the air. Which is the cause and which is the result?
Right.
Is the church weakness because the pastoral tenure is low, or because there's constant turnover, or because churches are in turmoil, or are all of these pastors and stuff leaving because the church is off mission? You know, which is really the cause and the effect? And
right. It's just so there's definitely a relationship between.
Has to be some relationship.
Right. But so we have this idea, therefore, because churches we see shrinking, we see pastorships having these abbreviated tenures. I mean, the idea of, you know, most men who accept a call, they envision themselves doing this for the rest of their lives. And yet that doesn't always happen, may not typically happen even. So we have these shortened tenures, but not only do we have that, we also have pastors moving from one church to another on top of that. So how does pastoral turnover, brief tenure, how does it affect the church's ability to focus on its mission, the Great Commission, the Great Commandments, these sorts of things?
Well, when, you know, Tom Rainer in a blog just a few months ago said that he thinks the average tenure in Southern Baptist churches nationwide is about 3.5 years. He says the third year of ministry is really the tough and hard year, because the honeymoon is over for the church, the honeymoon is over for the pastor. Now the rubber meets the road. We've got to start performing. And if you're in this three-year turnover rate all the time, the church never gets traction. They're always adjusting to a new leader. This is why many churches, I mean, this is very true, especially of our rural congregations, that they're organized to operate in that transition all the time. They have committees and gatekeepers and people who kind of keep the church functioning and keep the church moving even as they go through this transitional process. It is believed, now I'm not sure, all these numbers are debated, you know that, don't
right.
you?
Right, yes.
When I got ready to retire, I came across a number that said 1,500 pastors a month leave the ministry. Now that was just astounding to me. I just about fell out. Then I read one just a couple weeks later, said, no, it's 1,700 a month. So I started doing some homework on it and found out that was true at one time, but that's old data. The people who did them a long time ago. And the new data is that it's not that much. About 1% of evangelical pastors leave every month.
Wait, 1% leave every month. Mm-hmm. So that would mean... If you just
1% leave every year, and then divide that by 12, and you get the number. It's still about 300 or 400 people a month.
Yeah, that's right.
What I was convicted of then was 1,500, 300. If it's one person, we ought to be concerned about it, because the theology behind it is God's calling. Mm. Does God call people to do what we do? Does God call people to teach and to pastor? And what is that calling involved? Is that something God lets us out of somewhere along the way? So you see this rapid turnover in South Carolina. It is believed that tenure is under 3 years, and the turnover rate is a little faster. And then if all of these ministers are leaving, and so that means a percentage of our churches don't have a pastor at any given time, then no wonder that has to affect another number to factor. Tom Rainer did this one. Pastors that are in churches is beyond those 3 years, up to 7 to 9 years, are in churches that are much more settled and much more efficient in fulfilling their mission.
That makes perfect sense.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense.
Because you've got, obviously, anytime you bring in somebody new, there's a transition. So, and that would obviously slow down and redirect and so forth. But, you know, when you put together those categories and you see that these churches, as you said, are going to continue. They're continuing anyway, and they're creating these other structures, particularly rural churches. You mentioned deacon boards would be a classic example. The deacon is not an elder, but you have a group of men. They're called to be deacons, but they're actually to take care of the church. They're filling in an elder-type role, which creates obvious problems for us biblically in terms of do we have a proper church structure. But beyond that, bigger question maybe, when you don't have consistent biblical teaching, how can biblical mission, biblical identity, biblical knowledge be passed on efficiently? And when that doesn't happen, why would you expect the people of God to continue to look like the people of God? We need the scriptures to get there. And so this turnover thing, I think you've hit on something that's very significant. My concern's always been, as somebody who has watched this and seen my friends go in and out of pastorates and seen some endure and seen the hard times and good times and all the mixture that everybody has, my concern has been, Sonny, that I see us as sometimes Southern Baptists, whether rural or suburban or urban, struggling with how to just keep the scriptures in front of our people and keep our people engaged with it. What do you think, if you're in a situation with your where you're in a rural church and you have problems having a pastor, if you're especially if you've got a mindset, if you've got to hire somebody from the outside, what do you think is a kind of a, I don't want to say a quick fix, but what's something they can do that's more positive than what's being done?
Well, you know, the reasons for the turnover and all of those are multiple, and solving those
right.
are going to be a real big deal. And I, of course, I believe that a church should have a pastor. They should have a trained Bible teacher, somebody that can. Continuity becomes a real issue, especially when you have this turnover rate, getting the continuum of teaching and the gospel in front of people. And this, of course, is a real issue for me because sometimes the gospel gets lost, and teaching to the need of the church. Teaching us how to function as a church,
right.
and how to get things done as a church, and how the body is supposed to operate. And they're all part of the gospel, but somewhere our proclamation to an outside world gets lost, and we become totally internalized. And so I don't know the actual end result of that.
Right.
I've been in churches that are in these turnover rates all the time, and you want them to expect to have a new pastor. One of the things happening in America right now is many more of these churches are going bivocational.
Right.
Where they have somebody they can afford to pay, but he can stay there a long time because he's not totally dependent on the church for producing his income. And so his stretch as a pastor becomes a little bit longer.
And that's actually, I think, where I think most everybody who's looked at the next 100 years of the church in America has seen that the bivocational pastorate is probably, with some important exceptions, the primary model that we're going to see, because there is a shrinking size of church that will persevere, especially in rural contexts and so forth. But that's a bitter pill to swallow for some of these congregations, to say that we can no longer have a full-time, we've got to have a bivocational. And quite frankly, when many men finish seminary, they feel themselves called to the full-time role, and the bivocational role seems to be a lesser calling, but it's not. It can become a very important way that God takes all of your skills and allows you to lead a church to not only be inward focused, but become naturally outward focused. Because guess what? When you're a bivocational pastor, where do you spend about half your time?
Yeah.
I mean, this is the hidden gift in all of our struggles is God always is trying to prompt us to be more biblical, to be more thorough. And when we do that, we find out, oh, hey, wait a second. These things that are challenges, they can become opportunities to
right.
worship. So I really enjoy that notion of bivocational pastor not being a problem, but being a very good solution, especially along the lines of tenure, as you suggested.
Another thing that's happening right now, the North American Mission Board has got a replanting movement happening where...
So define replanting for
us. They're taking churches, or going to churches, and asking churches, would they be willing to start over again? And to replant the church in the same community using
right.
their same facilities. Occasionally this involves churches coming together, perhaps giving a facility to another community group or somebody that's in the area, and churches combining their resources to form a larger congregation
right.
with an outreach that's more effective to the local community. Mm. And so that this is a huge thing. They had a conference here in Charleston last weekend, sponsored by the North American Mission Board, to help us in this replanting effort, which gives churches a little more solid base for reach and rethinking their ministry. Some of these churches are mostly older members. There aren't a lot of younger members there, and so the church, there's no energy. There's not
right,
any energy
right.
there. They've got a lot of other things, just not the energy. And the replanting helps reach into the community, bring some people in, and see if we can't replant this church and give it a new sense of mission.
So in addition to planting brand new churches, we can take the energy of church planting, take an older church, and really connect perhaps different generations, different cultures into a new culture that may effectively reach this current American culture.
Yeah, this is happening right now. It's
yeah.
very good.
Well, and some examples of that, of course, in Atlanta, First Baptist Woodstock has been very aggressive in taking dying churches in Atlanta and in kind of a church planning campus model, coming along and saying, we're going to come where you are. We're going to join you. You're going to be a part of us. And we're going to take some of our strengths, put them there, and see if we can let God rebuild something. And
yeah, Woodstock got paired up with a man named Mark Clifton, who is mm-hmm. with the North American Mission Board. But he was at Warnell Road Baptist Church in Kansas City. And it was an inner-city church, fabulous facility. They had died, and they replanted this church. And it's just been amazing. And they've partnered up with Johnny Hunt and the people at Woodstock, and they're going around the country replanting these churches. And that's giving the churches a little different sense. They're using bivocational thing. Another answer in there is eldership.
Mm.
An elder that can teach and that can help bring some continuity to the church process.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. So if the church can find a way to renew itself within the mission of God, within the Great Commission and the Great Commandments, we find ways in whatever practical approach we use to let God come and move hearts. And when God moves hearts, all these obstacles, they're overcome, and they become the actual vehicles for God's glory to be expanded. So we've looked at a few things here today. We've looked at the idea that there is a weakening of many local congregations, and as part of that, it may be tied to this problem of pastoral tenure. So part of the solution that we've proposed in looking at today is, hey, bivocational pastorates, church replanting, all these things that kind of come together. But what binds them all together is a renewed commitment to make sure that the Great Commission and the Great Commandments are a major part of each of our local congregations. And so that requires all of us, even those who don't think that our churches are struggling this capacity, to maybe ask, hey, are we about the presence of God today? Are we about the Great Commission? Are we about the Great Commandments? And indeed, praying for sister congregations must be an important part. One of the things I'm excited about in the Charleston area are the different Baptist associations we have. They have a growing enthusiasm to make sure that we work together, not to build little fiefdoms of my church and your church, but to make sure that the kingdom of God is on display. Well, that's been a very exciting discussion. We've covered a lot of different topics, Sonny. I'm glad that you joined us. You promised to join us again?
Absolutely.
Well, we will always enjoy that. We enjoy your wisdom, your insight, and I'm always grateful that you are here not only as a retired pastor, but also an adjunct faculty member here at Charleston Southern. That's always encouraging.
That's great.
Thank you for joining us at churchandgospel.com. We hope to have you listen to us again next week. Until then, see you later.